I am here with you, and not only I am here with you, but a celebrated man is here with you. Not only a celebrated man, a man who celebrates by way of the word he uses, which is a word we all use, which is the word party. He is sitting near me. He needs even less introduction than I've already given him. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Andrew WK to the studio.
Oh, thank you very much. Very happy to be here. Thank you for that great, very kind, flattering introduction. I like that idea of celebrator.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you are. Absolutely.
I strive for that.
Yeah, yeah. Not even, I don't know anyone who's come close to that exact definition. I mean, there are a lot of people who are known for being cool and having fun, but nobody is known for celebrating quite like you are.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
Your tour currently, you're on tour. That's why you're here.
Yes, yes.
And it's the I Get Wet 10th Anniversary Tour.
Yeah, 10 years of partying keeping it going. It's actually been more than 10 years, but 10 years sounds better.
Yeah, it's been a little over. I mean, I think I looked, is it like, what was, do you know the exact release date? November?
Oh, well, in the U.S., actually, no, it was 10 years. But in the U.K., for example, the album came out a year earlier.
Oh, wow, got it.
So it's 11 years there. And then in terms of, you know, the time I began Andrew WK, then wow, that goes back to 13 years.
Oh, absolutely.
But 10 is just such a nice 10-year anniversary. It's the, what is that, the golden anniversary or the paper one? Which one is that?
I wish I knew. Golden paper. Let's call it the golden paper anniversary.
Gold leaf.
The gold leaf anniversary. And how has the tour been going so far? You've got 3 dates under your belt,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's easy for me to feel this way. It's better to ask the folks that came beyond myself and the band. But for me, they're the best shows that I've ever played.
Oh, my God.
The 3 best shows. The first show was the most fun I'd ever had playing any of our songs and performing. The second show, I figured that might just be a fluke.
Yeah.
But then the second one, it happened again. And then last night in Portland, I was really not expecting it 3 times in a row. It happened again. So I think it's a combination of many things. One, being in a state of huge gratitude that we're able to keep doing this, and that having that sort of perspective of 10 years of existence, it's mind-blowing for me. But then just really loving the music. It's held up. I mean, I've played these songs hundreds and hundreds of times.
Oh, yeah.
But I only like them more. It's a very bizarre phenomenon. I don't know why, but it's just been happening that way.
Well, they're incredibly powerful songs. I mean, for starters.
Thank you.
I feel like that is a big reason why they do not get old at all. I wanted to ask you, by the way, I would be remiss not to mention that the reason he's in Berkeley right now is because in San Francisco tonight, there will be a concert at the Regency Ballroom with Andrew WK performing I Get Wet in its entirety on this very tour.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we're playing this album, the I Get Wet album, front to back, start to finish, from the first song to the last song. And we had never done that before. I wasn't sure how that was going to feel either, but it's, for example, Party Hard, the song we just heard here on the radio.
That's right.
That's traditionally a song we play towards the end, if not at the very end of our set. But on the album, it's the second song. So it has this very interesting, different feeling to play in these different order. Normally at a show, you know, you're not sure what the band's going to play next. It's a mixture. But if you're familiar with an album, it becomes like one big song almost. And the end of one song leads you into the next one in this all-encompassing kind of way. And it's really fun to have that happen live.
Absolutely. I mean, I would have to agree. I haven't seen it yet. I'm planning on seeing it tonight.
Well, have you ever seen a band do that, though?
I have seen a band do that. Yeah.
I have as well. Now, who did you see that did that?
Just off the top of my head, well, I've 2 examples, actually. I can think of Los Lobos, who did the album Kiko in its entirety, and that was pretty great.
That would be very good, yeah.
Yeah, and then I also saw, I recently saw They Might Be Giants, who I'm actually going to talk about in a second.
Cool.
Perform Flood backwards.
Ooh. Oh, well, see, now
recently.
Now, in backwards order.
Yeah, in backwards order. Not, they didn't reverse.
I mean, that would really be impressive. Holy yeah. smokes. Well, if any band could pull it off, I don't put it past them.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, these songs, powerful songs, as we've discussed.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, you know, you say that it's like the greatest time you've ever had playing, and by the way, if you come tonight, I don't think it could possibly change after. I think it's been proven that this is going to be the best tour of your life.
Well, I mean, boy, yes. It came on so fast. There was a lot of buildup, but we've been completely shocked at the response, the reaction. It's been the most excitement there's ever been about anything we've ever done.
Wow.
It's all very humbling. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm just, I'm amazed. I'm in a state of shock and awe, and it's a good state to be in.
Yeah, no kidding.
And yeah, and tonight in San Francisco, I have no doubt that it'll be just as exciting, if not more, because each show we're learning as well. So ideally, they should get better each time. I have a quick question. How far are we from San Francisco proper?
We are currently just over the Bay Bridge from San Francisco proper. So that means we're, with traffic, about 45 minutes. Without traffic, an easy 25 minutes away.
Okay, wow. So that's close.
Yeah, it's nice and close by. So people listening now would have absolutely no problem getting over there tonight to see the show.
Just separated by the bay.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a beautiful bay.
It's a bay that you can go over the bridge,
okay,
under the water, in
okay,
a tunnel. You
right,
can do either thing.
Or a boat.
Or you can go on a... You know what? I often forget the boat option.
Or swim.
Or
are you allowed to swim the bay?
You
get in the way of the ships and things.
I don't know.
It might be a bit dangerous if there's
you
boats
can take
cruising.
Sailboats and you can take a ferry.
Right.
There's a lot of different options.
I like to swim, though, so...
Yeah. Do you swim regularly?
No. I used to swim every day, and that's why I got enough of my fill for many more years.
You got your fill.
Yeah.
The songs on I Get Wet, and by the way, I think I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who believes that your entire catalog is riddled with powerful, incredible music. Like,
thank you.
All over the years, just like, you know, I Love the Wolf. I love Close Calls with Brick Walls immensely.
Thank you.
Immensely.
Well, I should point out that we'll also be playing material from those albums
tonight
as
great
well.
Oh, that's great to hear.
So after we do the I Get Wet album, the first album, then we'll do a mixture of songs from everything else.
That's so great to hear.
I'm glad that you are happy for that.
We were talking about, as I mentioned, powerful. And I think that some of the power comes from a kind of musical purity, for lack of a better word, in
purity. Yeah.
I think that I mean, you're classically trained on the piano, correct?
Well, yeah, just traditional.
Traditionally trained on the piano.
I mean, yeah, we played classical songs, we played other songs too. Just basic training. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
Pardon me.
That's okay. Yeah. So that's a training that you have, and you know, in addition to, I know that you kind of did some noise music earlier in the day as well, but you've kind of brought that traditional training to your compositions. And in fact, one of my favorite moments of kind of watching or hearing something you've done is on the DVD you put out several years ago called Who Knows?
Yes, yes. I'm very happy you've seen that.
I have seen it. First of all, it's a brilliant and funny DVD.
Well, thank you. It's on Netflix now too.
Oh, is it?
So it's really easy to watch.
That's great. Please go to Netflix and watch that.
I think it's also actually the entire thing is also on YouTube. I think
really?
If you for free, if you type in NWK Who Knows on YouTube, I believe the entire thing is up there. One of those, you know, hour and a half long chunks.
Yeah, you're going to get a wild ride because it has performances of his songs from his first two albums and. And there's some incredible, bizarre, interstitial stuff that I love to watch also. And I one of my favorite moments was in the lead up to the song, I Get Wet. You play the song just on the piano, or like solo on the piano.
Yes, on my own piano.
That's your own piano.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't have it with me now, and I actually don't even have it in New York because... we filmed that scene from the DVD in New York when I did have the piano there. But then we moved to a building that was so high up that they couldn't get the piano there easily. So I gave it to an amazing musician called Baby D.
That's right.
And she has it and has had it and has now recorded two albums. She just finished recording a whole nother album with another amazing musician named Little Annie, also known as Little Annie Anxiety. So I figured if anyone could put it to good use and actually enrich the instrument further, it would be another amazing piano player. Baby D is just fantastic.
Yes.
And she did make the piano. The piano is better than it was when I had it.
wasn't that album, Regifted Light?
Yes,
like
Regifted
that?
Light. That is recorded on that piano.
That's an excellent album. And also recorded on the album, piano is your solo piano record, 55 Cadillac.
That is correct. You're very informed, and I really do appreciate your preparation.
Thank you. I mean, I did prepare a little bit, but I mostly just kind of listened to your music and reminded myself of what I what I know.
Thank you.
So you play that song, I Get Wet, on the solo piano beforehand, and then it just, you know, you get like a nice 2 minutes with it, just you and the piano, and then it crashes into the live version.
Yeah.
And the version on the piano is equally, if not even a little like more traditionally moving than the song, than the rock version. Like did you just write, and is that how you wrote most of the songs on this record, is just kind of like working them out on the piano, or did you?
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, for sure. Most of them were written, not really written on the, a lot of them I actually wrote, sort of going about my day.
Oh.
You know, in your head, sort of, you coming up with ideas, and the good ones you can remember by the time you would get back home. I never really carried around a pocket recorder. I've done that here. I've now started recording ideas, but it seems, again, like the best ones that you ever have, they just stick with you. And then I would work them out on the piano or the guitar. But usually they would sort of come to you like anyone writes songs. A lot of them come to you just fully ready to go, and then it's just a matter of getting them recorded.
And you seem to have, you know, in addition to just kind of that basic process, you seem to have pretty big ambitions in terms of how the final product turns out. Like, I remember reading, I actually wrote this quote down because I love this quote so much. And forgive me if it's somehow inaccurate. But I think it's from a bio of yours, an official bio of yours about The Wolf,
okay.
The second album.
All right.
And you said that because you overdubbed a lot of different tracks on that album.
Yes.
And the quote that I love is that it the effect is meant to be of 100 instruments being played by the same hand playing the exact same part in a hall of mirrors.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out a way to explain that recording process. It's really like the wall of sound approach, except it's emerging from one musician. I never wanted it to sound like a band playing. That was always very important to me, because it's not.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to sound organic or, you know, quote-unquote authentic or real. In terms of the recording, I always figured that's what was so great about recording, is that you don't have to make it sound like a band playing. That's for the band when we play live.
Yeah.
And even then I try to get away from that. I just want it to sound like the feeling of the music. To me, there's a very clear feeling of, it's triumph. It's just the feeling of wanting to put your hands up over your head and beam out this power to the world, and whatever it takes to get that sonically across is what we're working on.
Absolutely. I wanted to also bring up, so I said they might be giants earlier.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell a little personal tale, which is that I had not been really familiar with your music until the year 2004.
Okay.
And in that year, I went to the USC campus because my brother happened to be attending.
Yes.
And I'm glad you lit up at that.
Because I was actually just thinking about that day coming here.
Really?
So I was talking to my friend Aaron, who's with us on the tour, you know, helping us with the crew.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how beautiful this campus is here at Berkeley, and how college seems so fantastic, and there's these women basking in the sun on the grassy knoll, and it's so appealing. Maybe not the school part of it, but everything else. And I asked him, did you ever go to college? And he said, no. And I haven't either, but I remember one of the most mind-blowing campus experiences I've ever had was at USC.
Yeah.
And the fact that you now have brought that up, that's a good omen.
It was an incredible show because, I again, like I said, I had not been familiar with your music, and I didn't know what to expect. I was a They Might Be Giants fan at the time, and so was my brother. And we were both there to watch them. But we were also like, you know, Andrew WK's opening? I've never done anything like this probably before. I'm going to check this guy out. And the show totally bowled us over. And ever since then, like, the music and the feeling of the music has been, like, incredibly, incredibly, you know, associated with that memory for me.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because it was a special day despite the concert, because it was the first day of schools. It was like one of the first days that the students actually were in the dorms,
right,
set up on the campus. There was this kind of electricity in the air, maybe only similar to the last day of school and the kind of excitement that comes with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was a beautiful day as well. The marching band had done a performance. I mean, it was just all, I was excited.
Yeah.
About the whole thing. And I was also very excited about They Might Be Giants playing. It was all a bit of a dream come true on many, many levels.
Yeah.
Just a lot of beauty.
I was going to say, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
there.
No, please.
I was going to say that I was curious about that because I remember during They Might Be Giants' performance, you made a little cameo appearance during the song Fingertips.
That's right. I can't believe they let me do that. I remember that now. Well, I had expressed to them, I think, before they went on, I popped back into their dressing room area.
Yeah.
And just explained to them how much I've enjoyed their music. I mean, talk about amazing melodies.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's just really, really strong melodies throughout everything I've ever heard of them do. And my friends and I in elementary school and in, you know, junior high or middle school, we were very, very into what they were doing. And I got to see them play in Ann Arbor twice on their tours for Flood and also Apollo 13. And just blown away, really, just by those melodies.
Yeah.
Like Mammal.
Oh, that's an incredible song.
That's got great, great lyrics and great melodies. And people, a lot of my friends later that I met that I didn't grow up with, they had this weird way of looking at They Might Be Giants that was totally from a different angle. They weren't thinking about the music. They were thinking about the lyrics more, or maybe the aesthetics, how the band looked, and that he plays accordion. They thought of it as this like nerdy thing, or almost kind of compared it in a way they thought was bad to Weird Al Yankovic. And I thought, wow, it's really just, if you just listen to it as music and take away any kind of lifestyle clutter that you're getting confused with, you cannot deny the power.
I can completely agree with you. I mean, that's been my relationship with them since I was a teenager.
Yeah, and when we first heard it, we didn't even know about these other distracting icing on the cake kind of things that come with any performance, like, you know, the image and whatnot. All you take is just that great music. I didn't even understand what they were singing about, if they're making clever references and whatnot. It was just amazing melodies.
Absolutely. And by the way, you know, that as the years went on, the next couple of years went on, and I thought about that pairing of you guys, I realized how much more it made sense, especially when I heard Close Calls with Brick Walls, which is a really eclectic recording. And like, it's, would you call it like, I don't know, I've kind of called it like your art rock album or something along those lines.
Call whatever you want. Yeah. I was just trying to make, you know, the best songs I could. But I liked the idea that it was a mix of different sounds, you know, mixtape feeling maybe, or if you make a collection of songs. It's fun to have an album that where every song doesn't sound exactly the same. But I like that either way. That one just turned out that way.
Yeah.
Through a slightly different approach. But really, every time, I'm just trying to make the most exciting songs I can.
Yeah, and there's no shortage of tunes on any of that stuff either.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of tracks. You do get a good value for your money there.
I mean, yeah, just to kind of maybe even be a little redundant here, I've always thought of you as a pop, you know, ever since really becoming familiar with your stuff. I've thought of you as a kind of like a pop craftsman, but the Baroque also sticks out at me. And I was also delighted to see on NPR website a couple years ago.
Yep.
You wrote a piece and performed even a version of a piece from a Brandenburg Concerto. Which one was it?
Yeah, the fifth Brandenburg Concerto by Bach. There's a harpsichord solo in there, and I did a version of that. I think that was probably the best I ever played it. Fortunately, it was on NPR, so that, because it's also very easy to mess that up, or at least for me.
Yeah.
And you're just so kind and so complimentary. I hope this isn't annoying to the listeners. I mean, I am extraordinarily pleased and flattered. But I like those melodies. That's just, again, and the cool thing about Bach, at least the way that I've preferred it to be performed, whether by myself or someone else, is that it's really rock music, and that it's really stuck to a beat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great music out there and all kinds of great classical, but I really like the Baroque because they had more restraint. And they were confined to, you know, a lot more rules, including, like, you can't change the tempo or the pace in the middle of a song. You just got to deal with it. You could get killed for doing that. And it just has that nice, and of course, sometimes those limitations actually open up a whole other world.
Absolutely. I don't see why we shouldn't give away some tickets to tonight's show.
Oh, now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Hey, now.
I don't know. How
do you do this?
Well, that's the thing, is that I'm going to read some information about the show. So, okay. So I'll do that right now.
All right.
Andrew WK tonight, featuring Math the Band, opening band.
Yes.
At the Regency Ballroom, 1300 Van Ness at Sutter in San Francisco, 415-673-5716 is their phone number. Tonight, Tuesday, March 6th at 8 p.m., it's an all-ages concert. The venue is wheelchair accessible. And let's see. I don't know. How many callers should we take?
Well,
which number of caller?
Oh, well, how many do you normally get? Like thousands or just like four?
You know, somewhere in between the two.
Well, how about we take the you only have one pair to give away?
I only have one pair to give away.
Okay, well, what if we did? Could I give away a pair too?
You could if you have tickets.
Yeah, I can give away a pair.
Absolutely.
So let's give away a pair to the ninth caller.
Okay.
And to the third caller.
Okay, and to the third
caller.
In that
order.
Okay, in that order.
First the ninth, and then the third.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
All right.
If not that many people call, we'll see.
Oh, then I'll just give them to you.
Wow, my God.
Yeah, then I'll just give them to you.
I love that idea.
Or we could just take the first caller.
We will see what happens. I'm getting callers, so I'm going to play a song, and that song is called I Get Wet. DJ Sharky, I am here with the one and the only, you just heard his music, I Get Wet, Andrew WK.
Hello. Oh.
It's been a pleasure to be speaking with you this
long.
Yes,
I've certainly been a pleasure for me.
I wanted to say that that song, I Get Wet, we already talked about as a good example of kind of the Baroque piano, you know, influences that you've got.
I suppose so.
Under your belt.
If you hear it, that's all that matters.
I do hear it.
Okay. You're up, open and able to interpret all this as any way that you want, especially if it's a flattering kind of interpretation.
Well, especially, yes.
Yeah, as long as it makes me feel good about myself.
As long, yes. Thank goodness. I wanted to ask you, do those lyrics hold any particular significance to you, or do you... In the song I Get Wet, or really on a lot of the record, like but let's just talk about that song, I guess. Do those words have a specific significance for you?
I mean, a lot of these songs, it's more not trying to write words, it's trying to not write the wrong words, and then you're left with the right ones. But I mean, I'm trying to remember, as far as writing lyrics for a lot of the songs, it's more, I mean, and people talk about this all the time, and it's almost trite and played out, like a cliche to say, but I really do feel like they just come down from someplace else or come up.
Yeah.
I think in my case, they might be coming up to me, and then I'm just there to put it out there. And then I'll find meanings or interpret them in different ways over the years, or can, you know, relate to them in different ways. But when they initially happen, it's a type of magical process with that kind of stuff, and I don't know that I need to understand how it happens. I'm just thankful that it does.
Yeah, and I mean, I always thought that by the time you got to Close Calls with Brick Wallace, I thought that your lyrics, rather than getting better, because they achieved the exact purpose they needed to on the previous records, but on Close Calls, looked like there was more of a proficiency with the words and with the
I learned how to speak good by that point.
I hope this is not sounding backhanded.
No,
but
it's
more like,
it's true.
Yeah, I mean,
learned, I had a few more words in my vocabulary. I used some words, some color in there, like the word orange. What other things I did that were, you know, I talked about different ways of looking at things that I didn't know about before. So yeah, you hope that you're learning as you go.
I mean, there was a wit to it, and there was like a kind of specific wit to it. And
That was a mistake. I mean, that
was a mistake.
Well, it's coincidence.
Yeah.
It really, I try to leave it open, like so many people do, so that you can interpret it. And you know, you're coming with such high regard that you're making it even better than it ever would be. So I'm not going to be the one to tell you that you're wrong.
I hope the listeners are not bothered by my admiration for your music and your
work. I do. I really hope that too. It's okay, because it's making my day.
I'm glad. I wanted to ask you about a specific performance, because I've only seen you two times before, and tonight we'll make a third time. The first time was the USC show I mentioned, where you played your party rock and gave motivational speeches between songs and
yes,
all this stuff. And then 5 years later, in 2009, when you were releasing the 55 Cadillac solo piano album and things
yes,
like that, you also came to the Swedish American Hall here
That's
in San
right.
Francisco.
That's right, with the Calder String Quartet, a world-class, traditional classical string quartet, We played songs together. They played songs by themselves, and I played some songs by myself too. That was a life changing tour for me to be around musicians of that caliber. It makes you a better player. You hope it rubs off on you.
I have to wonder how that happened.
Them. Well, I had to trick them.
Did you?
Yeah, I said, look, if you play with me, it's going to be like the greatest thing. You know, I lowered them. They elevated me, you know, to a higher level. I lowered them down, and they actually did. I was afraid of it, and then it did happen, where they were derided in some parts of the classical music world for they playing what they said was very poor music. Not the Calders didn't say that, but other critics there, they don't like rock music in general, and
right.
They don't think that classical music should have any place alongside someone like me. And I totally understand what they're talking about. It's mind-blowing to me, though, at the same time, that people that are so erudite with music and so scholarly and have heard so much music, especially classical music, couldn't find the joy in other kinds of instrumentations, are unable to search out and find some value in all the different offerings. It's not like it has to replace classical music. And if anything, you know, we introduced some people that maybe never would have heard, you know, the Philip Glass pieces that they played. And there's got to be some kind of value and redeeming quality there.
Oh, there absolutely has to be.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw, I remember seeing, you know, a mixture of people, like some people who were pleased to be sitting in a hall and listening to this to classical music, and some other people who seemed like they've never done it before, which is great to
yeah,
me.
That's for sure. And that's what's going to keep classical music alive as well. Ultimately, young people, or even if they're just new people, but young fans, young to the scene, that's how you keep something going. If it's only, you know, for you and like a circle of friends, it's not going to be able to maintain itself.
And I thought also that there was a very interesting moment in that performance. And I'm sure you remember that at the end of the concert, and I think you did this on more than one occasion on the tour, because I remember speaking with a friend about it in another city, you ended the performance with John Cage's famous silent piece,
yeah,
433.
433. And I think, unfortunately, we tried our best every night, but I think the first time we played it, we did 421. And then at that show, I specifically remember we went over by 1 second. We were so close.
Oh.
Yeah, well, at least that's what someone told me. I'm counting in my head, trying to keep track of it. You know, I don't have a clock up there, but it's 4:33. You want to play it the right way.
That's amazing. I mean, in your intention to do that, I can only assume it's part of what you were just speaking about, the idea that, like, open to being, you know, listening to different instrumentation, I guess, including
or listening
case,
to nothing, yeah.
Nothing.
That is amazing. It's just, it's really one of the great human achievements, that piece, that perspective. I mean, it's like it's hard for me to imagine someone inventing a new form of painting, for example, or someone inventing a new style of music, but it happens in a piece like that. Not only was something totally new, but it just, you can apply that level of like breaking down the fourth wall. It's not whether the glass is half empty or half full. It's whether the glass is from IKEA and whether it's dirty or clean, like finding ways out of these binary boxes.
Yeah.
And that piece does that.
Did you find I'm sure you found a variety of responses from the audiences to being completely silent, especially after, because you had just played like three or four songs from I Get Wet or you know, from your back catalog with the quartet.
And it was went from very loud to as quiet as we could make it.
Yeah.
That was the point, of course, just, you know, extreme contrast. But it is interesting because you hear all this stuff because you're listening, right? I don't normally listen with that amount of focus to just ambient silence. And you notice there's all kinds of stuff going on, the shuffling of feet, the murmuring, sometimes catcalling, heckling, but even just like the fan or the air conditioning running in the corner of the room, or your own breathing and your own heartbeat, especially after coming down from a very intense adrenaline rush where you're breathing heavily. It's just great. It really, really was one of the favorite things I've ever gotten to perform.
Yeah, I mean, I got that sense from, especially since everyone on stage was having a great time also, by the way.
Bounding around.
Yeah. So the end of 2009 for you was like this watershed time for you where you really were able, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but you were able to do a lot more with your life at that time.
Yeah. And it was a great time.
And I remember on your Twitter feed, which by the way, everyone should follow, that is twitter.com/AndrewWK or @AndrewWK as it's more commonly known.
Yeah.
He runs it. Is that correct that you run your Twitter feed yourself?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes, thank you.
The feed is full of party tips, and they will surprise you almost every time.
It's a tremendous, tremendous joy. Again, talk about limitation. I love the limit of the characters. You can't, you know, say that much one at a time. So it's not like poetry necessarily, but you choose your words carefully, and just the ability, it really works with what I like about the computer and just communication in general. John Mayer, I remember he really didn't like Twitter, and he said no real artist would ever use Twitter. So that was also encouraging.
That would be encouraging. For you know,
he's a people. Very good guitar player.
Oh yes, but for people who like to fight against the idea of a real artist, quote unquote, I feel like that would be encouraging.
It's hard to be a real artist.
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
It's really, really hard.
And so, like, you know, on your Twitter feed there, you posted, I remember you posted, and this stuck in my mind because it struck me as kind of unusual, a picture of you in front of a whiteboard with doing a kind of a strategic meeting about your image, about, like, your plans for the future and things
wow.
like that.
I don't even remember this.
It was just, it was
What was
this,
I wearing?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was very possible you were wearing all white.
I'm trying to. It may have been from a UCLA lecture, and maybe you're just reinterpreting it.
It's possible.
Your way sounds a lot more interesting to me. We should have a meeting like that where we plan things out.
Well, maybe my memory is completely failing me or being altered in some way, but I guess it just goes to the idea that you're a very transparent and accessible to your fans and to people who like to listen to your music, and I think that's
Well, the best thing about partying to me is that you tend to hang out and break down your own fears and barriers. I've been someone who's really shy, so you know, growing up, that having a party where that person you thought wouldn't like you, or maybe you wouldn't like them, that you find some kind of common ground, even if it's just in the revelry of a celebratory moment, and that surely is improved. The more, the merrier are involved. But there's there's really no stuff behind the scenes going on in that way.
Absolutely. I also, and it reminds me, I was actually just reminded of this today when I pulled out the CDs that we have in our library of your music. We have your first ever EP here.
Holy cow, that is quite hard to find. I only have one copy of that myself.
Are you serious?
Yeah, maybe wouldn't you mind if I took that with me? No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. Well,
it's a library gem for us.
No, that's the first CD I ever released. It's an EP called Girl's Own Juice.
That's right. And in the cover here, it says "Call Me," and it has a 212 phone number in here.
Yes.
Did
212-714-4646.
Was that?
It's still going.
That is your phone number?
I have kept, well, ever since I moved to New York.
That's incredible.
So I still have it. And
Is it a machine?
No, I mean, I'm not there right now, so it's probably going to go to voicemail. But I can also get it forwarded to my cell phone, and I've been able to do that while I've traveled. You know, you want to be able to keep in contact with whoever has your number.
Wow.
But all I ask is people, if they're going to call it, to please, you know, not call too early in the morning, to not call, you know, with just to, like, try to trick me or something, you know.
That's incredible. I sincerely expected you to say, oh, that number hasn't been active for years.
Oh, no, it's still going. 212-714-4646.
There it is.
And I'm going to be traveling, obviously, so if I can't, you know, hear you or the connection's bad, just, you know, try again. And please do not try and call me and, like, trick me or anything.
That would be a very bad fan.
That would be a mean thing to do.
A mean thing to do.
And all I want is nice things.
I think that's all we all want.
Yeah, there's nothing subversive going on.
Love that. Is this the same band that you had for a long time playing on this tour right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I mean, more or less. We do have a fantastic new guitar player because I wanted to have four. We've had three for the most of the InterWK adventure, and now we have four.
Just go one more.
Yeah. So that's Dave Pino. He is the new guitar master there. And then pretty much it's been the same band that I've had at least for the last, 4 years. I mean, this is our first full headlining world tour depending where you live, 8 or 9 years. But the good thing is we have kept very active. We did the entire Warped Tour the summer before last.
That's right.
We did a couple different U.S. tours. We went to Australia just a few months ago. We played one-off festivals. So the band has stayed very active, or at least active enough. We always found ways around, you know, the situations or the limitations that were imposed on us by my poor decision-making and bad business sense. But we always did find a way to keep going, and that, I think, is all that matters.
And, you know, thinking about the differences between, even though it's virtually the same band, as you've had for all those years, playing the songs that you wrote all those years ago on this tour, by the way, which, if in case you're just tuning in, is the I Get Wet 10th Anniversary Tour with Andrew WK. He's playing tonight at the Regency Ballroom in San Francisco.
Yes.
Your voice has changed somewhat over the years as well. I've noticed that, you know, back in the I Get Wet days, your voice had a very, like powerful and noticeable like grit to it. It was a very 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 rock and roll voice, a very metal voice in ways.
Yes.
And then a few years later, when you did Close Calls with Brick Walls, your voice had a lot more range to it, and or at least exhibited a lot more range.
He sang the singing on the first album was, you know, very challenging for me, and you know, I've also been very happy with what I could contribute to the recent recordings. One of my favorite releases actually is the re-release, the worldwide release of Close Calls with Brick Walls that comes with the Mother of Mankind bonus disc.
Some of those songs are some of my favorites, by the way.
Thank you, because they are mine as well. And it's strange. I didn't really realize they were until I found myself listening to it just for fun. But I like all the recordings of InterWK, all the recordings that I've done. And, you know, yeah, the voices have changed, but... you know, the intent is what matters. How we get to that feeling of joy, I hope the means always justify the end. And if there's been confusion about why a voice would change or things like that, it's just, you know, people change. Just change over
and
time.
And that's not even close to what I was getting at. You know, I just feel...
I just wanted to say, because there have been people that say, oh, well, it's a different... You didn't sing on those first albums and things like that. And it's, you know, it's not that simple. And,
oh, no.
You know...
Yeah, no, not at all.
That's not the, even if it was, I'm just saying I don't want, it shouldn't, that shouldn't be, and I'm not saying that you were saying this, saying people, that shouldn't matter even if it was what happened.
Absolutely.
You know?
Basically, I mean, my question really was that, do you find it difficult to get back to that like incredibly guttural way of singing from the early stuff, or is on your tour, I mean, do you have to get your voice back in a rougher shape, or do you have to
I don't usually try to sing in one voice or another. It just comes out however it comes out, and that I wonder about that sometimes, if people more choose a voice, or like sing one song in one voice and one in a different one. It's more like you know, on a certain song you'll play the guitar in this place, and then another one maybe you use this kind of song tone, and you don't do it just for the sake of changing. It's just what was demanded by the songs, you know, by the powers that be.
That's right. That's right. You have new music.
Well, yeah. The newest thing we released came out only in Japan. That was an unfortunate situation. I mean, I'm glad it came out at all. And Japan is one of my favorite places in the world, so I don't mean it like that.
Oh yeah,
we've had some problems that now are resolved. And that's the best part, is after this tour, I'll get back to New York City in June, and then continue recording the brand new Andrew WK rock and roll album.
And that is great to hear.
Thank you. You're just so kind. Not too kind.
I hope not.
No, just the perfect amount of
I was also referring to the fact that you've released some songs for, I mean, the brand newest music, because I'm sure fans who are listening would like to know what the brand newest thing you've done is. And you released a couple songs for the World Skateboarding Championships.
Snowboarding.
Or, I'm sorry, excuse me, that was a mistake on my part.
No, it's all right. They're easy to get confused.
The World Snowboarding Championships in Oslo.
Yeah, Norway.
Yeah, no, no wonder it's not skateboarding, but snowboarding.
You could, I mean, they have snow skates. They're like a small snowboard that is very hard to balance
really?
On. Yeah, it's like, that's one of the newest sports. It's all very impressive.
That's
I mean, the one main difference that you could tell, so if you see these boards and wonder, the snowboards have wheels and the skateboards don't.
Yes.
So that's the easy way to tell
that
them apart.
That is a good distinction to make.
Yes.
So the songs for the World Snowboarding Championships, My Time and Go, 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 Go.
Yeah. I was very happy with how those turned out. And we got to, I also got to write a theme, this sort of like championship theme and some of the broadcast TV soundtrack music, which
has
always been one of my dreams to get to work in, you know, very commercial music, like a score. So I got to do all that and sort of also just be a rock and roll ambassador for the event. And I haven't really learned how to snowboard that well. My band member and wife, Sherry Lilly, she was one of the first competitive female snowboarders in the world.
Oh my God.
So it was really exciting for her to get to come here and meet these heroes of hers, like Terje Håkansson, who is like the father of snowboarding and put together this World Snowboarding Championship. So for someone like me who isn't that athletic, it's great to have a reason to contribute something, you know?
It's really cool to always be asked to contribute to different worlds and different, you know, stuff.
I like it a lot. It seems like if it comes to you and you have a good instinct about it, even if it seems very strange or new or out of your comfort zone, that's your destiny. It's not always supposed to feel, you know, easy. It can feel very scary and strange, but sometimes your true will is very strange. But you just got to go with it. That's your duty. And also, I wanted to say we're playing a very new song at these concerts on this tour. So new that a version of it has come out in Japan. The song is called Head Bang. Head Bang. H-E-A-D Bang. B-A-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only telling this so that in case someone, because sometimes it's fun to hear a new song that you've never heard, but it's also sometimes more fun to be familiar with it so you can sing along. So check that out. It is on YouTube. So you can listen to it. Head Bang.
So if you want to know all the songs that that Andrew WK are going to play tonight, you should go to YouTube and listen to that Head Bang by Andrew WK and listen to his albums The Wolf, Close Calls with Brick Walls, and most relevantly, I Get Wet, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary.
Yes.
I think that wraps it up, Andrew.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. You've been could not have been a more enjoyable interview for me. I hope that the listeners enjoyed our session together. And I just want to really make it clear how much I appreciate your support of this party. I mean, you're supporting me, but you're also supporting this effort to make this feeling. And it means the world to me. Thank you.
That is the party. That is the nature of the party. If you go to Twitter, you can follow Andrew at Andrew WK, and you can come to the Regency Ballroom tonight if tickets are still available. Tuesday, March 6th is today, of course, 8 p.m. with Math the Band. He's going to be playing I Get Wet in its entirety. Celebration? No doubt.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. We will play you out with something from I Get Wet called Ready to Die.
Okay.
See you tonight.
Bye.